Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engine!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host,
let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Morning, race fans. 11:02 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to a Mother's Day edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening, as always, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, especially all those racing moms, and even more the moms that like to race. Happy Mother's Day. Hope you have a great one. Happy Mother's Day to my wife, my mom, and my mother-in-law, and again, all the racing moms out there. Hope you have a great day, and it's another great weekend in Buffalo. Well, the weather outside, you know, it's kind of crappy today, but the Bandits won again last night. Moving on to the NLL Cup Finals. As usual, my thoughts here on a Sunday morning are distracted by that, but another great game last night in Bandit Land, coming out on top 12-8. What a wild game. I'll get my Bandit thoughts out of the way here and then move on to racing, but I guess I got to do that after I did it last week, too. Right out of the gate, 2-2, four goals in 5 minutes, and the game settled down. And everybody was kind of on edge, and there wasn't a goal for over 18 minutes. And then, boom, it was 3-2 Toronto, and the next thing you knew, it was 8-3 Buffalo. And like, all right, we got something here. They're going to, you know, take this one the distance. And then, of course, in true Toronto fashion, they got on a run and came back, and it was 8-7. And you're like, oh, no, here we go again, another collapse in front of the Toronto Rock. But no, Buffalo snapped out of it. They go on a four-goal run, go up 11-7, and then that was it. 12-8, the final last night. Matt Vince, amazing once again. As Mike said in the update, Dane Smith had a huge night. Corey Small, the stick was hot for Corey Small in his first year in Buffalo. A hat trick last night for Smallsy. Chase Frazier, he had two huge goals in that four-goal run. Great game for Frazier. And then Sean Evans, two huge goals, and thanks in part to two huge screens from Thomas Hogarth. So great team effort. Moving on to the NLL Cup Finals. I am pumped. It's been a great season, and hopefully you will be in Banditland this Saturday night for game one of the finals against Calgary. It'll be a huge series. Calgary is a lot like the Bandits. A lot of high scoring, a really great goaltender. This will be a fun one with Del Bianco in net for the Roughnecks, and then Dane Doby, Curtis Dixon, Reese Dutch. They have just as much talent as the Bandits do on offense. So this could be, it's either going to be like 17-16, or it's going to be 8-7, basically. I think two, maybe three games of the series. So, but looking forward to it. Okay, back to Fast Track. Sorry, I had to get that off my chest to kick off the program. But again, great day of racing yesterday, too. Lots going on. As NASCAR was in Kansas for last night's race, the Digital Ally 400, and you had IndyCar kicking off the month of May with the Indy Grand Prix in the rain there yesterday at the Brickyard. We'll talk more about that in the second segment of the program. We're going to talk a little bit about the race last night here to open up the show, but also want to mention, coming up on today's program in about 10 minutes, lots going on in the Western New York racing community, especially on the pavement side. Two very interesting news stories this week concerning local racing, one coming from Holland Speedway, formerly the track at Hillside. The Bennett family has removed Daniel Hutchinson as the property leasee, and the Bennetts have reassumed control of the facility. They've dropped the track at Hillside 8. Holland Speedway is back, and their events this year are to be determined, but probably good news for the future of Holland Speedway going forward. The other big news continues to be over at Lancaster with the new ownership group officially taking over last week. Slowly news trickling out about what the season's going to be for the drags and the stock cars. We got official word this week that the stock car program is going to be operated by the management and staff of the Race of Champions series. And Joe Skotnicki and his staff, they're going to put on a 6-race stock car program at Lancaster, which is great, including 3 modified races, the 3 kind of big traditional races for the modifieds, the Old Boy Cup, which will kick off the season in June. The Tommy Tony 110 is coming back to Lancaster. It was briefly moved to Spencer when things at Lancaster weren't looking so great, but it's coming back to its rightful home in August. And then, of course, the U.S. Open in September. So stock car racing will be on this year at Lancaster for 6 dates, plus a full drag racing schedule. And we're going to talk all about that with one of the new owners of the facility. Vito Antonicelli is going to join us here in about 8 minutes on the program in his first public interview on the radio since taking over, along with Mike Swinarski. So looking forward to talking to Vito here in just about 8 minutes. comments. We're on Twitter. You can hit us up on Twitter at FastTrack550 and Facebook.com/WGRFastTrack. You can also call us. Of course, phone lines are open here this morning, 803-0551. 888-550-2550. As Brad Keselowski going to victory lane last night at Kansas for his third win of the season. It's amazing. It's kind of looking like last year where a group of drivers is kind of hoarding all the wins, especially here early on in the regular season. You know, we're through 12 races and six drivers have all the wins so far here in 2019. Not spreading them out is Keselowski now has three to tie Kyle Busch, along with Denny and Martin Truex winning a pair apiece, and Logano and Chase Elliott with one each. Only six drivers winning so far in 2019. And Keselowski now has the hat trick after getting by Alex Bowman late to steal the win at Kansas. And, you know, it was good. It was a good race. It was a good finish to the race. That's probably the most important thing. It did start out. The starts were obviously real wild, a lot of three-wide, four-wide action. That's, of course, part of the aero package. That's the good part of the aero package, especially in short runs where the field can stay bunched up. But still, it's a mile-and-a-half track, and on those long runs, especially in the first and second stage, the leaders were able to pull away. As we saw that with Kevin Harvick, he and Bowyer kind of took off early on in the race, and he really dominated the first stage. Virtually, you know, pretty much uncontested, you know, early on in the race, even through the competition caution and everything. And then the second stage, Harvick led that early on. Then they had the green flag stop, and then Chase Elliott wound up winning the stage, and he kind of drove on once he got hold of the lead in that second stage. So not a whole lot of action really in the first two stages, and the third stage kind of started out that way too. Harvick had the lead again once the third stage started, but then things went awry for Happy Harvick, because he thought he had a problem with the right front, and then he had that windshield tear off caught up on the grill of the Busch number four car for Stewart Haas Racing, and he had to go to the pits because obviously the potential for overheating with the grill covered up. And again, he thought he might have had a tire going down, and once that happened, things then got really interesting, and that's when the race turned fun, and it had a great conclusion to the race. You know, Alex Bowman got the lead, but then it was, you know, it was Bowman and it was Keselowski and it was Eric Jones and Chase Elliott were all up there. Ricky Stenhouse was up there trading the lead back and forth, you know, within the final 75 or 100 or so laps last night. And that was exciting to see that Bowman didn't get away and that Keselowski and Jones and Elliott were able to kind of stay within shouting distance, you know, keep close with Bowman there late in the race. He didn't pull away like we saw kind of in the first two thirds of the race where Harvick and Elliott pulled away in the first and second stage. Bowman was not able to pull away. And that's when we saw that the package, the new aero package, sort of works, and it's slightly improving the race. Still a ways, you know, still some work needs to be done. The package was not helpful last week at Dover. The race at Dover last week was not very good. It was very hard to pass. Kyle Busch had some very colorful comments following the race, some language I can't use on a Sunday morning on Buffalo Radio about the package. And so it wasn't good last week at Dover, but last night at Kansas, we saw that it can make the racing better. It did help, though, that Harvick had that issue. If Harvick had not had something on his grill, or maybe thought had a flat on the right front of the four car, he might have stayed out and might have kind of pulled away from everybody. But instead, we got a really nice finish of that race, and hopefully we can continue to see more of that on mile-and-a-half tracks, especially in a couple of weeks for the 600 at Charlotte, because that race, you know, tends to, obviously it's a long race to begin with, but we've seen, you know, the Martin Truex beat down in that race a couple of years ago, made for a long night in Charlotte for everybody watching. So hopefully when they go to the next week is the All-Star race at Charlotte, but they're going to tweak some rules and try some things out for the future in that race. But the 600 in Charlotte in the week after that, hopefully the racing will be just as entertaining as we saw at the end of the Kansas race. So Keselowski got the win, his third of the year. Alex Bowman, how about Alex Bowman, though? Third race in a row, he finished the second. I'm sure he'd love to win, but still great for that young man and still great for Hendrick Motorsports as they're starting to pick up some steam. They had a really good night last night. They didn't get the win, as I said, but still some good efforts as we go through here the rest of the results. But I thought Bowman's been coming on strong here. Three second-place finishes in a row. That's great news for them. Eric Jones finished finishing third, did not make friends with Clint Bowyer late in the race, and Bowyer was not happy with Eric Jones there at the end. Chase Elliott, despite the penalty that put him at the rear of the field to start the race, we'll talk about that in a sec, still comes home fourth, and he is on a nice little hot streak now since he won at Talladega. He's up to fourth in the point standings now. In a stage win last night, and then Clint Bowyer rounding out the top five. As I said, though, not thrilled with Eric Jones as they got together late. Jimmy Johnson, one of his better runs of the year, finishing sixth. Again, look at that for Hendrick. Second, fourth, and sixth. That's pretty good for the Hendrick crew there as they've struggled. Kurt Busch, seventh. Kyle Larson, eighth. Tyler Reddick. I don't think I've mentioned him at all this season on the program. The rookie for Richard Childress Racing in the 31 car, the former Dirt Late Model driver, former Xfinity Series champ, coming home ninth. Pretty good for him. And Chris Buescher, top 10 finish for Buescher. He shows flashes as he could be quite the talented driver. He's in the JTG Doherty equipment. Maybe if he was in better equipment, he could be even better. But Buescher, still impressive. 10th place last night for him in the 37 car. Stenhouse led a few laps. He comes home in 11th. Harvick wound up 13th after he got back on the lead lap after having to take that unscheduled green flag pit stop. But he comes home 13th, still without a win here in 2019. Joey Logano looked strong early on coming through the field. Again, another driver that had to go to the rear at the start of the night, but had to settle for 15th last night. Denny Hamlin brushed the wall at one point, came home 16th. Martin Truex, who won at Dover last week, finishes in 19th. William Byron in 20th. Ryan Preece coming home in 25th. Kyle Busch had problems last night, and he came home 30th, and his streak of top 10 finishes to start the year was snapped with that. Ryan Blaney, a rough night. He's kind of in a rough patch right now. He comes home in 32nd. That's kind of it for notable names in the field last night. But again, still, I thought a pretty exciting race. And again, Keselowski, you know, coming home third. So looking at the points, Joey Logano, your points leader, up by 9 over Kyle Busch. Then you've got Harvick in third. Again, the only driver up there without a win, but obviously he'll be the first car in on points if the playoffs were to start today, but still a ways to go. Elliott, Keselowski, Hamlin, Truex, Kurt Busch, Bowyer, Blaney, your top 10. Then you got Almirola, Bowman, Suarez, Jones, Larson, and Jimmy Johnson right now on the bubble for the playoff spot here, sitting in 16th. And he is 8 points up on Ryan Newman. And I don't know, there's not going to be a lot of wiggle room. I mean, it really drops off quick outside of the top 16, so I don't think you're going to see a lot of movement for drivers locked into the playoffs. Usually, I've said traditionally on this program, I think once you get out of the 600, which is, again, just in a few weeks, your playoff field is traditionally set outside of a wild card win in a late summer race, like maybe the July race at Daytona or a Watkins Glen in August. Usually there's not a whole lot of movement in the playoff seedings, or at least for the 16 that are in, coming out of the Coke 600 at Charlotte. So, I mean, right now you look at it, you've got Johnson in 16th. He's 8 up on Newman. He's 11 up on Austin Dillon. Then you got Byron with 277. So that's 15 back at Jimmy Johnson. And then Menard and Stenhouse are 25 back at Johnson. So they can get there. I mean, it's within a race worth. But after that, you got Ty Dillon, who's mental math, not my strong suit, almost 70 points back behind Jimmy Johnson. So really, Newman, Dillon, Byron, Menard, and Stenhouse are within shouting distance of Jimmy Johnson. But beyond that, you know, that could be about it. So beyond that, these guys are going to need to get a win to make their way into the playoffs here as we approach kind of the halfway point of the regular season. So we'll see. That's, I guess, good news for Johnson. They struggled, but hoping to get their season turned around here early on with the Hendrick Motorsports camp, who again had a great night last night at Kansas. So good run for them. As I said, the race last week at Dover was not as thrilling as Martin Truex, you know, getting the win last week there at Dover. And it lacked, where Kansas kind of had the good action up front, Dover kind of lacked it, where guys just could not get a run on the guy in clean air, which is, you know, continues to be a problem. Even with this new package, and it was really on display in Dover. A lot of guys are frustrated. But yeah, Kyle Busch had some colorful comments to the media after the race. And then also Bob Levine, the owner of Levine Family Racing, he also was on Twitter and not as strongly venting his displeasure with the package, but he also was on Twitter, about his frustration too with the package as well. But neither Kyle or Bob Levine were fined. They didn't receive any penalties from NASCAR. Steve O'Donnell publicly said that that they won't be penalized for their comments, because NASCAR can be kind of sensitive to that, especially, Kyle's had his issues in the past coming out and criticizing the package, and other drivers have as well. But they'll be allowed to not face any punishment for what they said during the week. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Truex got the win last week at Dover, Bowman was second, Larson, Harvick, and Chase Elliott there, finishing in the top five. And Elliott now, like I said, it's been on a hot streak since the win at Talladega. Now three straight top fives for Elliott. So two Hendrick cars have three in a row top fives, with Bowman's three straight seconds and Elliott with a win, a fifth, and a fourth. And all pretty strong runs as the Chevy camp starts to improve here as we approach the halfway of the regular season. And that I think it's great to see, especially Elliott, because I think this sport is better when its most popular drivers are also performing well. I think that kind of needs to go hand in hand. For so long with Dale Jr., when he was in his kind of cold streak there in his first few years with the 88 car, such a popular driver but wasn't having the success, I think that hurts and it frustrates fans when their favorites aren't winning, especially when they're the biggest name in the sport. So I think Elliott really needs to kind of be a force here this year. I think it would be better for ratings and for attention to the sport in general. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Waiting to hear from Vito Antonicelli. Got the APB out on him, so hopefully we'll have him here soon. Formula One in action this morning. They were in Spain at Barcelona for the Spanish Grand Prix, and I don't feel bad ruining any spoilers for you, because you could probably guess, if you've DVR'd the race, who won it. Because, again, Mercedes 1 and 2 with Lewis Hamilton and Valtteri Bottas. No surprise, 1 and 2 for Mercedes. Max Verstappen finishing in third. Then you had Vettel in fourth with Charles Leclerc running out the top five. Pierre Gasly finishing in sixth. Kevin Magnussen in seventh, giving Haas F1 a good day with two top tens, as you had Carlos Sainz in eighth, Danny Kvyat in ninth, and Roman Grosjean rounding out the top ten. So both Haas F1 cars finishing in the top ten today at the Spanish Grand Prix there in Barcelona. But the Mercedes lead in the points innings, I believe, is like over 50 right now over Vettel. So it's going to be a long season in Formula One. If you are not a fan of either of the Mercedes drivers, if you're a Ferrari or Team Red Bull fan, it is going to make for a long season there, as it looks like it's just one of those years where one team is really going to dominate. And it's kind of been the story the last couple of years. I don't follow Formula One as closely, but it seems like in maybe last year, there was a little more balance between the Mercedes, Ferrari, and Red Bull, but it seems like Mercedes really has the advantage here in 2019. Again, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. We also had the IndyCar race yesterday, the Grand Prix of Indianapolis, the road course race over at the Brickyard, which has become kind of the new tradition to kick off the month of May. It's a nice little change of pace. It helps drum up some interest in the Brickyard, helps bring that atmosphere of the month long of events, especially they don't have as much practice and qualifying doesn't take as long as it used to. So to help kind of fill in the weeks at the Brickyard, they added this race a few years ago, and it's different to see the Indy cars run on the road course and kind of run the opposite way on parts of the oval. It's different if you've never seen it before, but interesting race, wild race. They had weather. I don't think they've run an IndyCar race there in the rain. At least nothing comes to memory, but they did get some rain, so they put the wet tires on, and it was a wild race. And Simon Pagenaud got the win. I believe this is his first win since 2 years ago, since 2017. I think he went winless last season. So Pagenaud got the win, and what a drive for Pagenaud. He was running in sixth place with 16 laps to go and quickly picked his way through the top five. And then with about two laps to go, or once he got past Jack Harvey for second, he was 5 seconds behind Scott Dixon, and he made that up and was able to pass Dixon there inside the final two laps to take the win. So it was quite a drive for Pagenaud. I don't know if some guys were taking it a little bit easier in the rain yesterday or not, but he just put on a clinic there in those final 16 laps to go from sixth to first. Very impressive. He got the win. Scott Dixon finished second. Jack Harvey, nice run for him in third. Matthias Leist finished fourth, and Spencer Piggott rounded out the top five. Then you had Ed Jones, Will Power, Felix Rosenquist, Graham Rahal, and rookie Santino Ferrucci rounded out the top 10. Rosenquist got his first career pull, the rookie Swede for Chip Ganassi Racing yesterday, and he had a wild day. Two late pit stops for Rosenquist. He actually left pit road with flames on the car. Both the last two refueling stops, or two of their last refueling stops yesterday, the fuel caught fire both times. And basically, when that happens, the drivers are told kind of to drive away, because then the fire kind of puts itself out with the air and the fuel falling off the car. But it was still wild to see both times leaving pit road. They must have had some kind of malfunction in the fueling system for that to happen on back-to-back pit stops. But he started on the pole, but wound up eighth yesterday. Other names in the field, Bourdais coming home in 11th, Marco Andretti in 13th, Takuma Sato in 14th, Joseph Newgarden in 15th, James Hinchcliffe finished 16th, Ryan Hunter-Reay in 17th, Tony Kanaan finished 20th, Elio Castroneves making a rare start back in IndyCar. Of course, he'll look to go for his fourth Indy 500 win in a couple of weeks. And he, unfortunately, had an off-track excursion and wound up 21st. And Alexander Rossi had a rough day, too. On the initial start, Patricio Award drove into the back of him as they went down the front stretch after taking the green, did some damage to the right rear tire. And he was in and out of the pits, and he wound up 22nd. Also, bad day for Colton Herta, the rookie, finishing in 23rd. So that really shook up the point standings in IndyCar. Newgarden still leads, despite he had a pit road penalty for a loose tire. And his lead over Dixon is now 6 points, 182 to 176. Rossi's bad day hurts him. He falls back. He's down to 146, so he's 36 behind Newgarden. Pagano now up to fourth. He's into the top five with 138, and Sato now falls back to fifth in the standings. Will Power way back there. Well, not way back, but sixth in the standings, but still he has 119 to his teammate Newgarden's 182, so that's, you know, about 63 points behind. But still early in the IndyCar season, and of course, don't forget, it is a double points race for the Indianapolis 500. So that's why this race, the added importance of that, the double points there. And as I said last week, too, coming out of Indianapolis when they go to Belle Isle, that's a doubleheader weekend. So again, you've got 4 points, or four races worth of points in those 2 weeks for the IndyCar drivers. So these guys that are lost a little ground in Newgarden yesterday can still make it up if they have a good run in the 500, and then have a good weekend there up in Detroit as well, too, can really make it up in a big hurry. So looking forward to the Indianapolis 500 qualifying next weekend. Saturday, they'll lock in rows 4 through 11 for positions 10 through 33, or 10 through 30, and then pole day will be on Sunday. The fast 9 from the from Saturday will then race for, or not race, but run for the pole on Sunday, and that'll lock in then the front 3 rows. And then I forgot to look when bump day was. I guess that'll be okay. I misread the schedule. I guess that'll be part of qualifying on Saturday. Will be it'll lock, oh no, 10 through 30. Yeah. So I have to study up on the qualifying format for the Indianapolis 500. When exactly they do bump day for the 500? Because again, 36 cars are entered, so 3 cars will be going home, and we'll get our field of 33 locked in for the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500. Of course, that will be, there we go, the last row shootout. That is also on Sunday. Sorry, that will be before the Fast 9 qualifying. So the 6 cars, I guess, that'll be on the outside looking in from the top 30, they will go for those last 3 spots on next Sunday at 12:15. Not sure if that's Central or Eastern time there in Indianapolis. And then that'll be a 2-hour session. And then after that, or 1-hour session, excuse me. And then after that will be the Fast 9 for the front 3 rows. So so both bump day and pole day will be on Sunday at the Brickyard, with spots 10 through 30 being decided on Saturday afternoon. So apologize for not having that down pat before the show, but sorry to get, we had to get, we got it right though in the end. All right, we're up against the break. When we come back, we'll try and get in touch with Vito Anicelli. If not, phone lines are going to be open here, 803-0551, 888-552-550. More Fast Track on this Mother's Day on WGR.
Hi, this is Brad Keselowski, driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford. You're listening to WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Something about the way he says WGR just makes me giggle for some reason. Brad Keselowski, the winner last night at Dover, his third of the year. Great finish to the race last night, as I said. Once Harvick unfortunately had his issues, it was a great battle between Bowman and Keselowski and Eric Jones there in the final the 75 laps or so, of Keselowski coming out on top. So some promising results from the aero package there at Kansas last night. Friday night, the truck series was at Kansas, and Stuart Friesen almost had it. He was leading with three to go, looking for his first win on a mile-and-a-half track, which we've been saying is where it's going to happen, and he runs out of fuel. Unfortunately for Stuart, on the last pit stop, there was some miscommunication. It was him and his crew chief, Trip Bruce. It was supposed to be a four-tire stop. He thought it was a two-tire stop. They changed it to 2 tires, didn't get all the fuel, and he took off. He ran out of fuel with three to go, unfortunately. Ross Chastain got the win. And coincidentally, Ross Chastain is going to be in town this week. Ross is going to be doing some presentations with the West Seneca School District Tuesday and Wednesday about seatbelt safety. That's all I know. The school district's had it on social media. If you're a fan, I wouldn't try maybe show up or anything for an autograph, but still interesting. Kind of funny coincidence that he gets a truck win, his first truck win, and he's going to be in town this week. So interesting coincidence there, but felt bad for Stu. Led 87 laps, mile and a half track. You know, he was on again. His mile and a half program is just phenomenal with the Hallmark team, and unfortunately couldn't get the job done. Still so close, very strong. Unfortunately, lost the points lead coming out of Dover last week, too. He is now in third in the standings. Grant Enfinger leads the Truck Series standings by 13 over Brett Moffitt. Friesen is back to third now, 15 back of Enfinger, but obviously very early in the season. And hopefully soon, actually, they go to Charlotte this week, another mile and a half track. So hopefully things will go Stuart Friesen's way. Assuming they're running Friday there at Charlotte as the lead him to All-Star Weekend. NASCAR Modified Tour in action, too. It took them three tries, but they finally got the spring sizzler in over at Stafford. It was supposed to be last weekend, and it rained out, and they wanted to do it Friday, and it was still raining, and they finally got it in yesterday. Doug Kobe picking up another win in the two car. Craig Lutz finishing second. Ronnie Silk in third. Max Zackham in fourth. Eric Goodale in fifth. Then Justin Bonsignor, Patrick Emmerling from Orchard Park finishing 7th, Sam Ramo, Timmy Solomito, Blake Barney rounded out the top 10, Timmy Catalano finishing 13th, his career best run on the NASCAR Tour for Timmy, brother Tommy finishing in 17th, and Tyler Ripkema finishing 23rd. Unfortunately, he crashed out of the event in the Ripkema number 32, and Patrick Emmerling continues his good start to the season on the NASCAR Tour. He is 17 back of Doug Kobe in the standings there after the first handful of races this season. Well, unfortunately, we were not able to get in touch with Vito Antonicelli this morning. We will look to rectify that in the future, but standing by on the Western Hotline and playing the role of pinch hitter this morning is the promoter of the Race of Champions and the Race of Champions Modified Series. Joe Skotnicki joins us on the line. Joe, good morning. Thank you for doing this on short notice, my friend.
Oh, no problem, Dave. I hope you can hear me now.
Yeah, sounding good. Joe, exciting week as I started off the show for Western New York pavement racing, Holland straightening things out, and Lancaster now new ownership and stock car program, thanks to you and your team. And just talk a little bit about getting together with Vito and Mike and how this deal came about for you to promote some stock car races at Lancaster this season.
Well, actually, I still haven't met Mike, and I'm looking forward to it. I met with Vito a couple weeks ago, and then we once again met with Vito and Sylvia this week. And you know, they're on the drag racing side, but they want to bring both sides, you know, back together. And they were looking for someone that was able to bring them a program that was an existing entity and help them out, and you know. Lancaster's near and dear to all of our parts in Western New York, and I we're honored to do it, and very thankful because you know, it was a long winter trying to put everything together, and Dave, you know just as good as anybody because you're an integral part of our team. And, you know, it was touch and go and spotty, and then we put the Spencer deal together, and, you know, everybody knew what was going on in Holland, and that didn't look so good for a while. And, you know, things, the ship's getting righted and things will get going back in the right direction. And that's what's most important to everyone.
And I think that that's the key part of your deal working with Lancaster is Vito and Mike, you know, probably 50, 60, maybe 75 years of drag racing experience between those two gentlemen, but they don't know anything about stock car racing. And, you know, they bought the facility so late in the year. So for them to get some kind of stock car schedule put together and get it done right instead of trying to learn on the fly, just bring in an experienced staff, they can learn a few things this season for 2020 in the future, but they can get a program on track with a staff of people that know the facility, know the racers, and can just continue what has been going on at that track for the last few years.
Yeah, that's and I think that's how they looked at it. I mean, you'd have to talk to them, you know, on their perspective. But certainly, that's how we looked at it, and that was our approach. And you know, the way we're approaching this is hopefully we can show them what we're made of, and it becomes a long term situation where they can focus on the facility, focus on selling tickets, focus on the promotion, and you know. Working together, we can create and have the latitude to put on some special events. And, you know, this year, if you look at that schedule, it's all going to be special.
Mm, yeah, and 13 events, too, which is more than last season. And that schedule starts this Saturday afternoon at the Chemung Speedrome. And speaking of, you know, resurrection products, Joe, again, Chemung was, again, a question mark. Luckily, the Chemung question was answered much earlier this offseason with Ray Hodge coming in, but you, they're a great partner, and looking forward to kicking off the season this Saturday at the Chemung Speedrome.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we had the ability to put the event on last year that coincided with the Watkins Glen weekend and had a phenomenal turnout of folks and race cars, and you know, it's going to be the same Saturday afternoon when we get there. You know, we've got folks from all over coming back to run the series, and just really looking forward to getting going and putting all the drama behind us. Mm-hmm. and doing what we do best, which is put on races and entertain folks, and that's, you know, a winter like this, I hope we never face one again, and just looking forward to Saturday afternoon at Chemung.
I agree wholeheartedly, and I mean, coming off it unfortunately, it took away from what was a great year last year. I mean, the year series alone, you had Chuck Hosfeld, who was, you know, Mr. Automatic when it came to being fast off the trailer and locking up a lot of fast qualifier points and having strong, consistent finishes, and then you had Andy Jankowiak rack up a bunch of wins along the way, and it made for an exciting title fight that came down to the Race of Champions 250 last September.
Yeah, if you wanted drama, and you like motorsports, when that race started last September, nobody knew the outcome of what the championship was going to be or who was going to win that race. You know, everybody likes to put Matt Hirschman in victory lane before the green flag drops, but that certainly wasn't the case. And until Andy Jankowiak had some unfortunate engine problems, it was turning out to be quite a heavyweight battle. And I don't think you'll see anything different this year. You know, Chuck's returning, Andy's returning, Matt's going to be, you know, big money Matt and hit those shows that he wants. And he's always, he's always the guy to beat when he's on the racetrack with us. And then you've got, you know, Patrick Emmerling's going to be in and out. I'm not too sure if Pat's going to run the whole deal or they're going to, you know, commit to the tour, but the NASCAR Whelen Tour. But, you know, there's only one conflict there that really affects anything now. So Pat will, you know, be at the majority of the races. And then there's the up-and-coming group of Darrell Lewis Jr. and Eric Behrens, Jack Ely. I mean, there's a lot of competitive people that run our series. And you want to see a good traditional modified racing show where you have to race from the time the gate drops on the trailer, stop out and see one of our races because they are pretty exciting.
Joe Skynicki, the promoter of the Race of Champions, joining us. He'll be putting on 6 racing shows at the Lancaster Speedway at New York International Raceway Park this season. And Joe, you kind of took the essence of the Lancaster schedule to put these 6 races on and kind of hit all the... we're playing all the hits, I guess you could say. You've got the Old Boy Cup, the Tommy Tony 110 in the U.S. Open for the Modifieds, plus you've added in the Joe Riley tribute race for the Sportsman, the 54 lapper there, the Ken Heckler tribute for the Street Stocks. Street Stocks a big part of Lancaster. So, you know, like I said, playing all the favorites and at least giving the fans, you know, some of their favorite races at Lancaster this year.
Yeah, we, you know, as much time as we've spent at Lancaster over the years, you know the model that works, and you know what events you need to have. The Tommy Tony, you know, we were going to give it a home no matter what happened with Lancaster, because that race is so critical to the families, and the Drew and Jane Kroliak families have done so much for the sport, and... you know, so we had planned that anyway and knew that if Lancaster came around, we could move the race back and adjust the Spencer schedule and you know, appease both worlds. But when it came time to put the Lancaster schedule together, we needed to put a program together that worked for Vito, Sylvia, and Mike because, I mean, realistically, they didn't. I don't think they knew what they were getting into on the stock car side, and we don't want them to stub their toe. We want them to have successful events, exciting events, and that put fans in the stands, and that was the goal. And hopefully, we can help to promote do that. To keep Lancaster viable for years to come. But it wasn't too hard to figure out which events to put on the schedule for Lancaster.
Well, Joe, like many a race fan in Western New York, breathing some sighs of relief over the last couple of weeks. As you said, it was a long winter and there were some dark times, but there's light at the end of the tunnel and it may stop raining someday around here. Very excited that things are working out in the end. Joe, again, thank you on short notice for joining us this morning. We appreciate it. And good luck this Saturday with the opener at Chemung, the Lid Lifter 75 at the Chemung Speedrome. For more information, check out rocmodifiedseries.com. And let's have a great 2019, Joe.
Looking forward to it, Dave, and see you soon. I'm sure you'll be in Bandit Land next Saturday, and hopefully those guys can get their championship done. So look forward to it.
Yep, I was going to touch base with you this afternoon, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Dave. See you.
All right, bye. Joe Skynicki from the ROC Modified Series. Again, starting off at Chemung, and again, great news that we'll get some stock car racing at Lancaster, and again, full slate of drag racing, too. Again, they'll kick off the drag side of the portion at Lancaster this Saturday, actually, with a test and tune session for the drags, and then the Friday night IHRA drag racing program kicks off the following Friday, and they go right in back into the traditional kind of three-night schedule for the drags. Tuesday, test and tune amateur drags and junior dragsters. Wednesday, cruise nights will be back on Wednesdays. And then the Friday night IHRA drag racing program, which is huge. As much as we talk about the stock car racing, because you know, that's the side I work with more, the track being open this year at Lancaster for the drag people is even more important. I don't want to understate that because whereas... the stock car side, there's some other options here in Western New York if it didn't open, because there is Wyoming County and there's Holland and there's all the dirt tracks in the area. The drag side, they've got Leicester. They've got New York International Raceway Park in Leicester, Empire Dragway in Leicester. It used to be New York International when Vito and the Antonicellis ran it a few years ago. They've got that, but they don't have as many other options if there wasn't a Lancaster Speedway and Dragway this season. So I think for even the drag racing community, it even means that much more because there wasn't as many Plan Bs for them, especially so close to home. So I think it means it just as much, if not more, for the drag racing community, and I'm sure they'll be out in force to support it, especially because of the great ties that Vito and Mike have with the drag racing community because of their years in the sport. I mean, again, if you're not familiar with local drag racing, Vito's been a car builder and involved in the sport for decades. Mike Swinarski has had success locally and nationally in drag racing, so these guys have a lot of ties. So hopefully all bodes well for the future of racing in West New York and as we emerge from a dark winter of uncertainty. But There was some racing this weekend, too. Friday, not so good, but Saturday, a couple of tracks did get their shows in again, and we're going to cover that next as we wrap up this edition of Fast Track with the local racing roundup coming up next.
Let's find out who visited Victory Lane this weekend. It's time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
Unfortunately, Friday night was a washout once again for the area raceways, especially over at Ransomville Speedway. The water was literally rushing across the driveway for the entrance of the Speedway Friday night at the Big R. So unfortunately, three Friday night rainouts in a row for the Big R. They will try again this Friday night, try and get the 2019 season going at the Big R. State Line Speedway also a rainout this weekend. Saturday a little bit better, and a couple of tracks were able to dry out, including the Genesee Speedway. J.J. Mazur getting the win in the Crate Late Models. Kyle Inman getting the sportsman win over Austin Susi and Jim Harbison. Kurt Stebbins got the win in Street Stocks. Eric Weiss in the Mini Stocks. Brian Gregory in the Bandits. And Brad Shepard won their Enduro. Merrittville also getting in their second show of the season up in Thorold, Ontario. And it was the Brian Stevens Memorial for the 358 Modifieds. And Gary Lindberg beat Matt Williamson and Mike Bowman. Ryan Soucy, Tim Jones brought out the top five there. Adam Leslie got the sportsman win over Brad Rouse and Chad Chevalier. Rob Murray over Dave Bailey in the Hoosier Stocks. Kyle Rothwell in the four cylinders. Josh Schleiter in the Mod Lights. John Couture in the six-cylinder division there at Merrittville Speedway. So every other track, other tracks looking to get on track, pardon the pun, this season. But luckily, Genesee and Merrittville, they're two for two with these last 2 weeks. Good to see everybody's getting their shows in and tracks continuing to open up. Freedom Motorsports Park will be getting on track soon, same for Wyoming County Speedway. And again, also this coming Saturday, Test and Tune at Lancaster for the drags. And Chemung Speedrome is the first kind of pavement race in the area this year for the Race of Champions Modifieds at 2 o'clock this Saturday out there in Chemung. Make the nice trek down 390 to Interstate 86 and make your way into Chemung. So hopefully you find some racing this weekend or find your way to Banditland on Saturday night. Either way, you won't be disappointed. I got to plug both sides of my sports here that I am near and dear to my heart. So thanks for listening. Again, happy Mother's Day. Thank you for listening. We'll be back here next Sunday with more Fast Track on WGR.